Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in Fortified, Minneapolis. This is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Mark McCroy, I too make nice games.
For this week's episode, it's another Nice Games Jam. We've just been given a prompt, and we're going to try to come up with a complete game that you can play by the end of the episode. Will it work? We and you are about to find out. And so, if everyone is ready, let's start.
Ooh, a little drama there.
Yeah.
Befitting the extra drama in the intro, Lydia is back.
Yes.
Hi. Are you saying Lydia is the drama?
Sure.
I'm the problem. It's me.
Oh. Welcome back, Lydia.
Yeah, it's a different day in a different shirt.
Definitely.
Completely.
It is actually not.
Listeners may recall last week at the end of the episode, we had interviewed Lydia. It was a great episode. If you haven't heard it, please go back and listen. You were like, I got to do a game jam. And we're like, you know, we're going to do one in about an hour. And so we tricked you and here you are. one of the other two of you, explain to Lydia how this works.
Well, okay. So Dale.
Ellen's doing it. Okay.
Chaotic, good feline spirit Dale creates a prompt for us. And they are various degrees of unhinged.
Yes.
And then we give ourselves an hour to try to make a game out of it. And usually what that means is either like a first prototype build of something that's a tabletop game or like a game sketch of a game design document for something that's a digital game, video game. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
We don't know how the prompt is, so we don't know where we're going yet.
Yeah, exactly. So Dale has sent me a prompt. Apparently it includes a picture.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Which you've said has never happened before.
Yeah. We're all a little nervous.
That's concerning.
Yeah.
No, these are always a surprise. We all and there is like a there's like a stages of acceptance for the Nice Games Jams, kind of like the stages of grief. The first one is panic. And then there's prompt, and then there's more panic. And then there's scramble, and then there's oh, we can do this. Uh-huh. And then there's we did this. We should do more of it.
Yeah.
And then there's we're probably not going to do more.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah.
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 No, I think it's a good illustration that you'll have more ideas than you'll know what to do with in your life. So you really can't be too precious about any of them.
But also you should listen to that part of your brain that has ideas. Like Jesse Schell always said, you got to listen to the bad ideas so that way your brain will give you good ideas sometimes.
Yeah. Exactly right. There's always more to churn through. Mm-hmm. And they all have function, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm saying this all without knowing what the prompt is.
Yeah. You guys ready to get your think on?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Let's hear it.
Here we go. Okay. Dale sent me an image of text.
Uh-huh.
It was an image.
The image, fake out? The image is of text.
Okay.
Here we go. Ooh, create a game based on one of your team's first job. Either gig-based, such as babysitting, or lawn mowing, or paycheck-based, but set in a world with either evil robots, monsters, or aliens.
Okay.
That's so specific.
It's just super weird. All right, so we have to talk. First, we have to figure out what our first jobs were.
Right, and we have to pick the weirdest one.
Then we have to pick the weirdest one for sure.
Uh-huh.
And then robots, monsters, or aliens.
Right.
Okay. All right, let's talk about our first jobs, I guess.
I'll go first. My first job was as a concessions operator at a movie theater.
Okay.
I sold mini pretzels. I ate mini pretzels and then sometimes also sold them.
Were they soft or hard pretzels?
Soft, those little tiny bites.
Oh, that's delicious.
I know, right? Yeah. That's what I sounded like every day at that job.
Yeah. Did you come home smelling like pretzels and was it the best thing ever?
I didn't so much care.
Oh, okay.
I was later a projectionist.
Oh,
cool.
Which is fun. This is back in this is the very tail end of actual projectionism, where before everything was digital, I think, partly because we were a second run theater. I'm not quite that old, but it was weird. We'd get the in six cans, we'd get the reels, we'd have to stitch them together,
okay.
Oh,
put
yeah.
them on the platter, run them through. It was very and dangerous. Like, there was very, you know, run them through the thing. It was really technical and interesting. And then the audio came on a hard drive.
Well, yeah, because they couldn't hire the pianist.
Exactly. Because these were talkies. And so...
Oh, that's great.
Funny how I went right to the soft pretzel memory first. Yeah. That's more lasting, even if it's not as... Okay, all right.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to read the second line from Dan.
Oh, there's more?
If I think it's something like, if the first 3 minutes start with a murder of Mark. No. That wasn't anything.
Oh, that's funny.
Bonus
that's funny.
Points. That's a cool... There's a lot of fun stuff to do with that.
Yeah, I like how you had such distinct upward mobility at this job. You went from the honest work of pretzel slinger to technical expertise projectionist.
Yeah, right.
Did you still get pretzels?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, really was a promotion.
Yeah, that's a real promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because yeah, the trick is they inventoried every soda cup. They didn't inventory those pretzels.
Nice. Man, what was my first job? I'm pretty sure I also worked concessions, but not at a theater. I was at the university cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Specifically what I did is I just like moved boxes and broke them down and then refilled the milk or juice or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was basically what I forget the specific title of what that was, but that's basically what I did. It was.
Was it like back rooms? Were like in a warehouse?
No, it was. I mean, it was all in university. So, like, you know, the U of M, they have all those different cafeterias in the dorms.
Yeah,
that's where I would be refilling the things. Mm. So, like, I would get free food too.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It's not as good as pretzels. but I don't know. I thought that job was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. What appeals to me about that is logistics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like many moving parts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In a system like that. Mm-hmm. That seems interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That could fit into a game for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a seasonal sales associate at Lush, at the Lush, oh, yeah. Lush at Chestnut Hill Mall.
Nice.
Okay. And then that was sophomore year, winter break of college. And then I did some research for professors, which was games research, kind of history games research. And then also I was a PE instructor for beginning Lindy Hop with my now husband. So, but I think Lush was first. But it was just for like a month between Thanksgiving and Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's.
Mm-hmm. I do love the idea of aliens like coming in to do holiday shopping.
I was just going
to
say like the setting is best for the weird theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it important that it's a Lush? Because like that's skincare and cosmetics and bath stuff.
There's comedy potential there.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I think we would genericize it.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be Lush specifically.
Well, I mean more like the genre of store at the mall.
We can break those rules, right? Okay. We can use it as a jumping off point. It can be, you know, providing soft pretzels at the mall.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't tell Dale, but we break the rules all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've thrown away a prompt sometimes.
She hasn't caught on so far.
I'm pretty sure she's editing this episode. Oops. Ellen, what's yours?
Yeah, so I was also retail. My dad owned, my family owned a pet store in the exurb that I grew up in. And also a place where we mixed custom bird seed, because different types of birds like different types of seeds. Uh-huh. So if you want to have more of this type of bird, then you have to have more of this type of seed. And this is something that, like, when you grow up with really nerdy parents, you learn.
Yeah.
And some people around there, like, really did care about getting the exact right mix of bird seed so they could have the exact right mix of birds. Hmm. Anyway, but yeah, I didn't do the bird mixing because I was small.
Okay.
Seed mixing, and it was like big 50-pound bags, but I did help out in the store. So we did, like, I learned how to run the till back in the days before you, like, when we got our credit card machine, it was really cool, and I had to like run it through, and then I had to do like, there was like a carbon copy paper, and it
you
was,
did the ka-chunk?
Ka-chunk. I did the ka-chunk.
Yeah.
I did the ka-chunk. That was hard.
Talk about old-fashioned things.
People paid us in checks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, right? And then sometimes, like, I would help with the till, and then I would be like, this is boring, and I'd go and make signage on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
Or dust or clean or something, and try to stay out of the way.
What appeals to me about yours is that all of the rest of ours jobs, you can imagine what that's like.
Yeah.
But yours has like secret knowledge.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like pet store feels like you don't really know what goes on.
Yeah.
I think it's the proprietary blending of seeds.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what feels very arcane and secret knowledge to me.
So the thing is that'd be really interesting to do in like a space station cosmetics, like space mall cosmetic store. We're dealing with weird aliens.
I have a solution to all of our problems.
Oh, okay.
Which is that this place takes place at a mall that has a movie theater, a Lush, a pet store, and a cafeteria.
Yeah.
So, but here's another question, though. Mm. Is it any way to make this game not a like resource management sim?
I support that endeavor.
I do, too. No, I like resource management.
I love them, too. But the thing is like, occupation and, like, it's the obvious choice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it just window dressing and then it's a game about alien invasion, or is there something specific about the mechanics of the job that...
Yeah.
It's a more customer service, like bartending.
I've always loved the idea, and I wish there was more of a thing in media, where, like, there's a whole bunch of really fancy stuff happening. Mm-hmm. Like crazy things happening like in the background, but you like have a day job, so you don't get to participate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just all happening kind of in the background, but it affects your day to day a little bit.
I love
But just slightly.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Everyone has to do their job, but there's stuff happening around it, but like you cannot clock out.
It's like both a less existential and because of that more existential version of Papers, Please.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. It's actually, it kind of reminds me of like in Deep Space Nine. Was it Garrick the tailor? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets mixed up in some nonsense for sure.
What, plain simple Garrick?
I know, shocking, right?
Yeah.
But like, I could definitely imagine some things that weren't shown on screen would be like Odo like grumbling and like following someone down the promenade. Rrr, and then there's Garrick says, door is closed. And he's like, oh, there they go again.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
He'd run faster if he'd morph into a quadruped. I don't know.
Oh yeah, we've got the kernel of something now.
Yeah. Okay. So it takes place at a mall because then it encompasses everything.
Yep.
There's
maybe some asymmetry if we're going to use all four of our jobs.
Sure.
Ooh, you could have multiple main characters and like move between them.
Is this a enclosed mall or is this like a strip mall? Like, is this a like a classic mall space? It is all of the stores in a periphery with open space in the middle. But a strip mall, then you have to exit and come into each of the stores. So each of them are a little bit more separate.
I have kind of been imagining it as like Mall of America, but in space.
Yeah, I'm thinking definitely like it's the mall. Like that's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Closed. Yeah. Let's go to the mall, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like the Horsehead Nebula Mall.
Yeah. But not Mall of America sized, I'm thinking.
No, that's pretty big.
I'm thinking, you know, smaller, more regional, so that you actually could, from you step out the store you work at, and you can see 60% of all the other stores.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Google, mm-hmm. Can you Google image Chestnut Hill Mall, Massachusetts? That is, I think, the right size.
Okay.
The Lush is on the second floor.
Yeah. But it's like one, yeah, okay, I think we all know, yeah, we have a good idea. I like that. Are you guys okay with the idea of this being a mall in space where aliens come to shop?
Is it aliens or robots?
Yes.
Okay.
Or monsters. This is the part that's, we've been given some options. And I think we could even go further afield of that because it's like that. But there's two angles. There's a disaster involved, right? An invasion. Right,
they're supposed to be evil.
First suggestion was evil robots.
Right.
Or it's in space and there are aliens. And they're just customers.
I think we could do it's in space, kind of Star Trek rules, so aliens, robots, tech happens. Mm-hmm. And I really like the idea of something weird is happening in the background, but you're kind of, it's not your job.
Yeah.
You're not paid enough for this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ooh, I think I got something.
Ooh.
Okay.
So, yes, it's like the mall on a starbase.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, sure.
But something's happening. One of any number of disasters is happening. But you don't know what it is, and you have to figure it out based on what customers bring to you and buy from you.
Fascinating.
Okay. And because we all operate different stores,
yeah,
we have to kind of coordinate. Like, we don't get the full picture.
Oh,
I like that a lot.
Right? So there's like, I mean, this is maybe better as a video game.
Oh, yeah.
But like, there's a scenario that like is slowly emerges, and maybe there's information, and whoever gets to it first, but we can't get to it unless we communicate.
Yeah. I immediately went to Pen and Paper RPG.
Okay.
Describing.
Oh yeah.
Because then you can have a new mystery every time because the DM would create.
And then the DM would just handle it.
Yeah.
I
like it.
So when you were working retail, did you have the thing where like it would track? There's a thing on the door which tracks how much traffic goes in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things is that they have as part of their business metric is how many people went in versus how many sales were made.
Yeah.
And then like how many big sales, because ideally, even if it's small, you want to have as many like and as many sale as close to like a 1-to-1 ratio as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It, because of that, we were not allowed to like go and leave a lot because we were going to throw off that data.
Yeah.
If it's a pen and paper RPG, or even if it was a video game, kind of in the same vein of like keep talking, don't explode, it could be like we have our own little store, but we can communicate with like walkie-talkie. Yeah. So we can pass information, but it can't be in front of customers. It can't be very long, and it only can be like verbal, or else maybe we could like go out on our break.
Yeah,
but it's a very short amount of time when we could actually like swap tangible stuff.
Yeah, I like that, and then it can even be like a narrative structure to that, which is not just like the retail overlords, but like if this is like the crew of this station, like they don't like us getting in their business.
Yeah, like right. That was my next question: is why do we care? Like, is this a because the mall's going to shut down and we got to save the community center sort of situation?
Just bored teenagers, I think it's because we're something fun.
We're nosy. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we're doing meddling kids. Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking but like Scooby-Doo kind of.
But still, like, we aren't being paid enough for this. Why are we doing this? We just want to go home and play Fortnite.
So, okay. So, like, my initial thought was that it is some kind of disaster that they're just not telling us about. And so we're interested in it. The reason anyone's interested in like why is the building shaking?
Yeah.
But I'm as you asked the question, part of me is like, I don't know, maybe we're just nosy.
I kind of like nosy better because the other thing is like,
and there's gossip to share, and it's more like the mall, like
right. Well, and you're stuck there, right? Because you can't leave because you have this job and you don't want to lose your job.
Yeah.
But it's not a disaster where they're going to shut down the mall and send you home, right? It's like, okay, if there's a threat to your person or alien self, then you should probably leave.
Well, maybe sometimes there is a threat and maybe sometimes there's not.
I do think that if we're going to just go the nosy route, there has to be a point where we suddenly realize that we're in deep and we can't back out, and like we don't realize it until we've gone off that precipice.
I like that a lot.
I think that has to happen because otherwise we could just stop being nosy.
Yeah.
So I guess it seemed like we kind of jumped or started operating under the assumption that this would be a multiplayer game, but I keep imagining it as a single player game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think just, Lydia, based on what you just said, I think this is a one-shot RPG. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we designed the scenario.
Okay, that would work.
Because I think we're thinking of like all sorts of a system.
Yeah.
But maybe this is just, we just designed this, well, it's the scope of the Nice Games Jam.
Yeah.
Right.
But then like the surprise or the in too deep, we can actually just calibrate exactly that.
Yeah.
And to your point about multiplayer, I the reason I think it should be is because it's all our jobs. And so it should be represented.
I like that. Yeah. Okay.
But I kind of get what you're saying, though, about like it kind of makes a ton of sense. You could make a really robust system. You're not reliant on other people's activities or their engagement and mechanics if it is just one player.
If it is a one shot like module, so it's the same every time, then we could have a little bit of a one player mode where every so often you're cued to like play a recording and it is a walkie-talkie call from the neighboring store.
VHS tape.
Yeah, so like you could choose what store you have, and then every so often it's like in the module you're playing single player and it's like get a call from this, play track whatever, and it's your walkie-talkie friend from the pretzel shop because you're the one working at the movie. You're the one working at the Bath and Body Works or whatever. That's a big scope.
No,
that is
no,
like
that's not what I'm reminded of a thing. What was the thing? The Experience Beach or whatever.
Oh, Experience Beach,
It's just a VHS game that Mark and Dale used to play.
You're saying we should make a VHS game?
No.
Oh.
Maybe.
I honestly, yes.
All right.
I mean, yeah. The VHS game, which is the single player mode of this one shot module.
That's kind of what a one shot is.
That's really. What, yeah.
Yeah.
When you were talking about like you get a call from a thing, I immediately went to VHS. Yeah. And I was like, oh, we could do this, and then,
this works even with multiplayer, because if you have, the thing playing in the background, then there's dozens of stores in this mall.
Yeah.
Right? And so so it can be it could be a 1-to-4 player game, and you pick from the stores, and then the one non-player store clerks are part of the...
This specifically reminds me of a murder mystery that I did at my bachelorette weekend, where there was a bunch of different characters, and they had... the GM could assign which person was the murderer, and we every so often at clinch moments we had text to read and we picked one or the other response, like a version.
Oh, choices?
Yeah, if we were the murderer versus if we weren't.
Interesting. Okay.
But each of us had roles, and you could make it as big. I think there were like 18 roles, but we were only 5 people.
Yeah, you don't have to cover everything.
Yeah, okay. So you could have we could expand it to that many stores. You pick however many stores you want, and then you can augment with more stores have as pre-recorded stuff.
Yeah.
One other thing that occurred to me is just an idea to play around is, you know, the prompt in its text does not say that we have to be people working at the job. It could be we're at the mall going to these various places.
Sure.
Oh, that's true.
So just something to toss out there.
That's a fair point.
Because then it could be like you know, it's more of like a kids on bikes sort of thing where you're at the mall with your friends and you're going to you have to go to these different stores. And then you maybe mix in a few other options. And in interacting with things at each of these stores, just going through the mall, you are picking up on some scenario.
Yeah.
Then
that's true. It's not required. I like us doing that. One, because it ties more into our own experiences, which is fun. And also, I think Lydia described the sort of caged in.
Yeah.
Your actions are limited. Like that framework really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I like that too. Mm-hmm. I like it too. Okay, I just wanted to toss it out there.
No, that's a good point because it's not the way I was considering it.
Well, we do this all the time where we like take the prompt and we start tweaking it and then we realize we've boxed ourselves in a way that the prompt doesn't ask us to.
Yeah.
It's good to bring that up.
We'll at least revisit it.
Yeah.
At least we've boxed ourselves in and now we're like, oh, we've boxed ourselves in. Do we like this box?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we like this box.
Yeah, yeah. That's where we're at. Okay, so.
Do we like the VHS idea?
Or I'm cool with that.
Yeah?
Silly. They wouldn't make this anymore, but you know what? That's one of the fun things about Nice Games Jams. We can do what we want.
You know,
our prototype can just be little paragraphs for when that happens. We can actually build something that's close to what it would really be.
Some players out there really like little indie games where they're leaning heavily on retro style media.
Oh yeah,
Mark.
What?
I think. Anyways. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, if we're gonna do that, we can write some paragraphs on like what would happen, but like what actually happens? What are we doing?
Right. So, do we want to talk mechanics, or do we want to actually build a story?
I think because the mechanics are more obvious, because we kind of threw out a bunch of different forms of like, okay, you're having a multitask with customers and your job, but you're also got walkie-talkie, potentially like communication, and then you also, you know, have a clock for when you're out of the store on your break, but you could actually meet up with somebody.
Yeah.
Like, that feels more like we have that down because of our experiences.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We still need to figure out what is the thing we're picking up on and why do we care?
I suppose that's the bulk of the work, so.
It feels like the mechanics are probably, they will fall into place. They're important, but we're not attached to anything.
Well, I think we have some loose ideas about what those kinds of things would be, right? Like what you just said. We don't have to nail down the specifics.
Well, they're not lodestones. So we can go with the story now, and then we've got enough in the hopper that we could start piecing together.
Okay.
Yeah, and like we have a lot of ways that we could discover the story, because one of the first things I was thinking of is actually your idea with your job with the food and the box processing.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to go to the recycling bin a lot.
Oh yeah.
You're gonna go to the trash room a lot. You're actually one of the few people who is allowed to leave your storefront more than others.
That's fun.
Right.
You can get tools. You can MacGyver stuff back there.
You can discover the dead body in the trash.
The dead robot body.
So I like the idea of every character having a unique ability to gather information that the other characters don't have.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right? So that would be yours. We're now just going to be characters.
And I'm not interacting with like actual people in the mall.
Yeah.
I'm just doing the stuff in the background, right? I guess I'm me.
Right.
You said we're inhabiting what we did.
Yeah, you're less likely to get, you might get pulled over by someone being like, hello, can you help me? But you're not going to be the person that is going to have to constantly be pitching to customers and interrupted.
Yeah, if they call me, it's because their juice is not filled.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Whereas Lydia, you'd be the one who'd be probably most customer facing.
Yeah.
Almost all of your experience as mechanically would be dealing with like customers that are come in on the roll of a die or whatever.
Yeah. And it would be like all ages of customers too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool. I like this.
I feel like there's something with the pets.
I like Ellen as a child Ellen.
Yeah. This is
doing tasks for her parents in the shop.
Yeah, that's nice, because then you can, children are invisible.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Also, they can fit in ducks.
True. Right. There were many shenanigans had in that. Most of them did not result in serious injury.
Yeah.
Most. Yeah. But no, one of the best things was like, you'd have these bins. This is not a huge sidetrack, but like we'd have these bins of the different seed mixes. So you could go get like, instead of buying like a 50-pound bag of special papaya nut mix for morning. No,
if you get this wrong, your parents are going to be upset.
rose breasted grosbeak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess you wouldn't know if you were wrong. It. So
yeah,
thank God. They eat fruits and nuts. You could scoop up a pound or two, and you could just have a little bit. But what was really fun is some of the seeds were really like small, so you could just go in there and just shove your hands all the way in there.
Oh yeah,
which is awesome. Little kids love doing that.
You could hide things there too.
We definitely did.
Yeah.
But then it was like we learned you could, then customer would like scoop and be like, why is there a toy horse in my seat?
It's eating.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking that because we're going to do this as a one shot, there's one way this goes. I think we could do a lot of puzzle design based on the things that are in all of our shops. So like,
ooh.
I like the idea that if this is some kind of invasion, let's just say it's like it's a some sort of alien parasite. That like the right mix of bird seed could be concocted to lure them out, and you wouldn't know that unless the projectionist in the movie theater overheard a security guard talk about something, you know.
Yeah.
And so the information would pass around, and then we would all have resources which would contribute to solutions.
Yeah.
And then also like you want to hide something in the bird seed that then gets taken out of the loading docks that then Steven can pick up and bring over to Lush.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know, there could be a little bit, there could be some Goonies stuff going on, right? Where you know, hiding stuff from everybody.
Am I right in thinking that the major limited resource is communication? Because that's the thing I keep coming to just because we're stuck in our stores.
How do you make a tabletop RPG where that's the case?
So, okay. So this is a little bit for novelty and format. But if we're going to make a YouTube video for the VHS portion, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, then everyone plays at home.
Okay.
Oh, that would work.
I imagine it kind of like when you do the sending spell in D&D, usually you'll say to the table, like, this is roughly what I'm thinking of sending. Then you go off in your little notebook and you're like, okay, here's the 25 words. Mm-hmm. You say that officially and like codify it. Mm-hmm. And then that's what information the team uses going forward, both the DM and the rest of the team understanding like that is what was said in the sending spell.
Yeah.
That's kind of what table talk, and then you honor whatever was like the five words you were able to get in passing when you pass by the pretzel stand.
Yeah.
Right. I guess it really depends then now on if this truly is role playing where everyone could just skip to the end pretty easily if you all just cheated.
Yeah.
Or is it a board game where the communication literally is limited?
Concept maybe new role for the VHS or YouTube video side. Are those mall wide announcements? Because that would be separate from players, and that would be a trickle of extremely edited and curated information about whatever's happening.
So events, but also announcements. Yeah.
Yeah.
Security from mall, from the Starbase commander, whatever.
Yeah. And that way also, like, we as designers would be in control of what information is being transmitted to the players, but then the players are in control of what information they find, and can give to each other. Right. It's a lot more clear, like, what is table talk, what is official in that respect, but we could still have the automated, like, the little video kind of multimedia. We could make it cheesy. We could have fun jingles, you know, really play up the mall side of it.
So we don't necessarily mind if one player discovers something within their part of the mall, and of course it's happening at the table, so everybody knows about it. That's not going to break anything, even though narratively those other characters wouldn't necessarily know that. Unless we could just assume that anything you find out, you walk each.
You eventually communicate to them in some way, and
So that's not a mechanic. Yeah. We don't need to worry about the communication with other players as a core mechanic of the game.
Okay.
I think this is where it's like you have to assume that it's a table that is going to honor the spirit of the game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I suppose hopefully if you're, you know, playing a game with a group of people, they're all, well, I suppose that's something we should probably establish now that I think about it. Because it's the worst when you jump into a D&D game with your friends and everybody else is on a different wavelength from you.
Yeah. So. The thing is, that's not the designer's job, though. I personally feel like if someone's going to be a butt and cheat, like, there's nothing going to stop them.
What I mean is we should just set expectations up.
Well, that's what I'm driving at is if we're going to be leaning more into the retro VHS board game, then people will come to the table without the understanding that they're doing it as a role-playing game.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. But if we make sure we telegraph that, then we can expect it from players.
Yes.
But if we're not telegraphing that, And I guess I'm leaning towards not having to telegraph that and letting people just play it like a board game.
Then what is the board game if that's not the case? If the communication is not the driving factor?
Well, what I'm saying is that narratively,
yeah,
anything anyone discovers, you just assume that people would tell each other.
I'm cool with that.
And then yeah. And then, like Lydia was saying, the information that comes in the video mm-hmm. would be where the would be all everyone would get that over the loudspeaker anyway.
Yeah.
But it limits what we can do structurally with that kind of sharing of information if it's not a mechanic.
Sure.
And we're not literally. That's why I was suggesting like a novel idea of actually literally separating the players.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
you don't have to like role play it. You just literally are it. But I'm also pretty comfortable with just saying we don't need that.
I do kind of like the idea of how would you even make this game? Because like you're just displaying video to four people at once. thinking of it technically now.
Yeah.
But I like the novelty of everybody playing it separately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This game would have been great 4 years ago. We're all
yeah.
I mean, you could have okay, so you have like a book.
Yeah.
And or you have a couple books, like one for each of the four characters.
Okay.
And then it's all driven from like QR codes on your phone. So everyone's like there and like navigating that.
Oh, I guess that could work too.
Yeah.
Then you see a video on your phone instead.
Oh, I'm just thinking.
No, I like that. I kind of like that.
So we just in the rules you say like you will get some information, you are not allowed to share it or whatever.
Yeah.
Unless.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, and it could be the experience on the phone could be very basic, like just very presentational, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the mechanics or things could play out in the table space somehow, so yeah. It's more blended.
I don't know. Again, I'm not sure exactly how we'll do it, but I really like the idea of an inverse of a social deception game where it's not that you have information and you're trying to hide it from everyone else. It's you have information, you're trying to give it to everyone else.
Yeah, that is really good. That I guess that's a good argument for holding on to this then, rather than what I was suggesting, which was giving up on it.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, I think, back to the original question of if this is the limited resource or this is like the thing, the rub,
yeah.
the thing you're working against is communication and your ability to give certain types of communication or stuff to other people. If that is the core like difficulty in the game, then that makes sense. If we don't think that's actually supposed to be the main rub of the game, then we should pivot.
Okay. I have an idea for how we might be able to accomplish that.
Okay.
Let me know what you think. Okay. So, because again, this is all scripted, then every player has a deck of cards that's in the same order.
Oh, we got a deck now. Okay.
And then when you play, the video will say this thing happens, and then and it's
sorry.
And that triggers you drawing at one of those cards.
Yeah.
And that's some information you find, or you go to a place on the mall, and that triggers you. So in some manner, you collect the card. The card has information on it.
Yeah.
And the rules of the game are you cannot reveal what's on any of the cards. Your way to communicate with other players is through walkies, which you have limited opportunities to do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When you do, what you actually do is you hand that card to the person you want to tell. They look at it and then they hand it back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And that's how you share information. And then players don't have to police their speech. They're just not allowed to tell them anything.
I like the idea then also because it makes it spatial. So you can have, if we have a board, you can have a stack of cards in the recycling and trash room.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I may not be able to access it because it's more than a 10-minute walk away from my store. But if you are closer, like maybe Pretzels, you can go there in 5 minutes and come back. No one will notice.
Right.
Or if your job takes you there, then you're more likely to be able to get that or pass information at that
location.
That's
really good. And then the table talk can be all about like, all right, I've got 5 minutes. What does people need? And like, well, I would like to know more about X. And like, well, I'm close to that. I'll use my opportunity to go do that. And then later I'll use my other opportunity to share it with you because otherwise it would take you too long to do it. And so there can still be a lot of table talk.
Yeah.
But because the worst part about games where you can't talk is that everyone has to stay silent.
Yeah. I mean, you could also like, you could even have that be some fun, like lying or deception mechanics. So it's like you're on the other side of the mall from where you need to be. But you're like, hey, boss. I can, if you put in a lunch order, I could pick it up from the salad place.
Ha, ha, ha.
So then you have a reason, you are have like an official sanctioned reason to go across the mall. And while you're at the salad place, maybe you drop by the pretzel shop.
I like that a lot too. Yeah. And you can, I mean, you could make that really like you have tokens, like excuse tokens.
Yeah.
And the game could encourage you to do some storytelling. So it still has some RPG flavor, but players who don't want to do it don't necessarily have to.
Yeah. Or you have to like explain it and then like pass a DC check of some sort.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So one question I have, which might change physically how we do this. Mm-hmm. Customers.
Right.
They should move every turn.
I agree.
How are we, is it a stack of cards that moves? Is it a token and then they have their own little booklet? Like, how are we going to manage customers moving from store to store every turn? Because we could get different, we could get a set of information from the same customer, you know? Like, that's the one thing where information is not necessarily spatially located.
I think this may not.
Or is it different?
Yeah, my thinking was that we'd have meatballs for a bunch of customers,
yeah,
and they would like just rotate around the mall, and then there'd be like a computer turn that someone would roll die and then would move all the pieces or whatever. And then,
yeah, kind of like the round reset.
It might be a little finicky. It might be a little bit much, and it might be weird that everyone's like going around the mall on a track. But like some malls do actually look that way.
Yeah,
you could have like different meeples that move at different speeds.
Alternately, you can just have like a die roll and you look on a table and that table says a customer shows up. You know, everyone, that could be a way to do it, but it's not as fun and physical perhaps.
Yeah, I like the idea of each one moving at a different speed because a family of two kids definitely going to move slower than like your friend who also could end up being kind of like a fairy for things. I also like that idea. So depending on who the customer is, they'd be either more willing to tell you information or they could be your vehicle of information and stuff.
So you've got different types of meeples. They're color-coded. They have a symbol on them, so you know. And there's an inside lane and an outside lane. And so there's two directions.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of every turn, there's the entrance. And you roll to see who enters. And then that person moves two squares every turn. And then so during that little computer turn, you look at all the meeples. They have like a two written on them. And they're on the outside lane, so they move two counterclockwise. And you just move everyone the amount of turns they go. So you can also... So it's less random too. You kind of know how many turns you have till the next customer.
Exactly.
Shows up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we wouldn't want to overwhelm the players with a lot of that, but like maybe three or four different customer types that move at different rates or have different things.
This is a board game, not a digital game.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
that just that works.
Yeah. I think there could be like blended digital components, but I think most of the gameplay.
Well, it has to have some digital components. Yeah. Because there's still the VHS.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of that being the only digital component.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like some
mall
of the
story. Is a character and it is a digital component.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The mall is a character.
I have a slight gripe with it being like, you know how long till you're going to get another customer because that does not happen in retail.
Yeah.
I think that it's random, like per round, the things that kind of happen.
Yeah.
And it also, like with a movie theater, you know when you're going to get slammed and then you're going to have an hour free.
Right.
Or two hours free.
I guess the trick here is like how abstracted. Do we have to make this in order for
that's part of why I was asking if it was a digital game or not, because if it was digital then we could just control how the NPCs work.
Yeah.
And we can make it work in ways.
I just want to resist the notion of like we could just solve this with code later.
No, that's fair.
But I mean we can.
Yeah.
That's not a wrong choice.
Yeah.
It's just something exciting about making this work without that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the vibe of the old VHS game. I guess I'm just hung up on that.
No, I'm not suggesting we don't do that. I'm
okay.
Just saying.
Concept.
Yes.
We separate the presence of customers from the information they could bring.
Okay.
So the meeples moving around by random number generation, dice, whatever, determines if your store is occupied.
Yeah.
Which means you have eyes on you.
Right.
But that's a separate mechanic from information.
Okay.
Mm. Gleaned, overheard from customers in general.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yep,
that's really good.
So that way, like, because that then introduces the idea of, like, maybe you had made this grand plan to go and meet up in the recycling center, but, a customer came when you were supposed to be on your break. You can't leave. Or you have this information, this really juicy gossip that you just got, but you cannot leave because you can't disseminate it that turn because a bunch of people have arrived at your store.
Yes. Yes. I like that a lot.
Starting to try to rudimentarily, like, place a board out here with some of our white box prototyping accessories. So basically like every turn you have, what I'm imagining is like it's rounds. Mm-hmm. Every round, the customer state, the state of the mall changes. That includes customers moving to different things and also other weird developments.
Yeah.
And then every round, you as a player have certain actions that you can take. And you're going to have one of these four identities working in one of these four locations. And then you have, if there's a customer in the store, you have to tend to the customer.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
If there isn't
a store, is status occupied.
Yes. And there might be things you can do because there's a customer there.
Right.
But you can't leave.
Right. If there's right, you cannot leave the store if there's a customer present in the store. But if there's a customer present, then you have a certain range of actions you can take. And if there isn't a customer present, you have a separate, different range of actions that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which includes, like, you can leave the store. You can
ask for information
about
certain things going on and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you can, like,
you could go into the back room and do something in secret.
Yeah. I don't think the NPCs or the meeples have to represent literally a different NPC. It could just be whether or not store is occupied or not.
Right. They don't even move around the board. It's just if you roll the die and the customer shows up, you put a meeple in your store.
Yeah. So I've grabbed three little white meeples and then four larger meeples, one of each color, to join
the players.
Yeah. Cool. So the colored ones are each of the workers in their store, and then these little white ones are for if your store is occupied.
So customers could have qualities with it, like depending on the store, like how long they stay, how many turns or whatever. And they interact with the information system, but in a separate way. But we haven't quite figured out how.
Okay, so then this suggests that there's information cards and that certain types of information can be found either in certain locations or from customers.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there's kind of a almost like maybe physical evidence versus gossip.
Yes.
And so like if you do an action to like talk to a customer either out and about or like in the store, maybe you pull from a gossip deck and that gives you a piece of information. But if you like go to a location, then each location has a certain amount of physical evidence.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I'm starting to think customers, because the system we're building here of the customers occupying you, the information customers give you should be rare. Like, you shouldn't be able to get information from every customer. It should, when a customer gives you information, it should be like a delightful surprise.
Oh, yeah.
The customer should be this other system that you have to deal with.
Well, because
it's preventing you from getting information.
And it's gossip. So, like, they might gossip about, I don't know.
It might be wrong.
Well, it might be wrong, but they might be gossiping about other stuff that doesn't pertain to the thing.
That's
that
true.
Ooh, and that makes a lot of sense in terms of, like, there could be some detective work here where, especially with information sharing, that can be table talk, where the gossip deck can be randomized, can be shuffled, right? It doesn't have to be sequenced because it's pieces of information overheard and we will get it in a random order.
Yeah.
And some of it will be false, but you'll only know that when you hear a lot of it.
Yeah. Right? Do you think, is it important to have in the gossip deck, is it important to know that the gossip came from another worker or from a customer? If we want customers' stuff to be really rare,
I think there needs to be a separate deck then for customer sourced gossip.
I kind of think the gossip deck should just be mostly,
mostly used
as information and occasionally a good.
Maybe it's people watching. Maybe it's like people watching deck. Because you could also see like maybe you don't actually talk to someone, but you like when you're out on your break, you notice, oh, that like security is trolling the place. That's weird. Like, why are both of the security officers on shift today?
I wonder if we're getting too caught up in trying to make it realistic and we just have...
Well, how many things do... My thinking is, like, you could have... I like all of these different types of things, but they could be... The action could be, I want information from this customer in the store. You draw a card, and the card says you talked to them. Or the card says you watched them. Like, it, you know what I mean? It could be more
need to be
narrative, but the mechanic can be just a simpler action of interact, perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm trying to write all this down.
I think we're getting somewhere.
Okay.
But I think I think this was the right direction, but we were going to talk about story.
We pivoted away from that really quick.
One thing leads to another is how it goes.
Yeah, we're all game designers.
Do we want to pivot to that or do we want to keep
running? No, I think we do, because if this is going to be a one shot, I think the story needs to be really compelling. And
Yeah.
It's not clear to me what it is yet.
Yeah.
So I think that like there should be like a three act kind of thing. Like the first part of the story is, you know, something's up. The second part of the story is it's one of three possibilities, the or whatever. And then the last one is we know what it is and what do we do about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think, so the question is, what is different about today? I think it could or should be like it's busier than normal, mm-hmm. and or security is heightened for some reason, and or like something like I or like, wow, the ground keeps shaking. You know, there's something off, and whether that and or maybe a couple different things are off simultaneously.
Yeah.
And I think in particular, it's like it's busier than normal. There's more security. It's something where it's like, oh, you could write that off. Like, oh, it's Black Friday weekend. Of course, there's going to be more people here.
Yeah.
And there's going to be more people trying to make sure no one kills each other over a TV.
Yeah.
I like the idea of heightened security because that's always a they're not going to tell you anything.
Yeah.
Like, what if the first thing that happens is that there's security and none of the workers can leave? You weren't going to anyway, but like that's the first thing you learn.
Ooh. Maybe, or maybe it was like everyone was scheduled for a longer shift than normal at the same window of time.
Okay.
So sure. So that's something that you would be like, oh, that's kind of weird. But then it would only seem genuinely weird until you realized everyone at every single other business had the same shift.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I have a reason why that could be.
Oh.
Which is, and it's a silly reason, which is why I like it. Which is, that's how the station staff is keeping everybody occupied. It's like, let's just get them all into the mall. Which is also why we're going to be the last ones to know this stuff.
Yeah.
We are being coddled because they don't want us to know what's happening.
Right.
Because they don't want panic.
This is like station management got together with mall management and said, listen, we have a situation. Mm-hmm. We can't talk to anybody about it, but we need to have, like, you've got BOGO sales like crazy today.
Yeah. 2-for-1 at the, you know, a double feature at the movie theater.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Take the kids to the mall, come back in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Because that is going to be a lot of like, why is this? And then also like, what's weird about that even? Mm-hmm. Like, that keeps that question in the air for
you. You would also get different customers than you normally get because they're trying to kill time.
Right.
Because they have nothing else to do if they're stuck in the mall.
A lot of the gossip you get is like, you know, like, I guess I was supposed to have a duty shift in the boardroom today. But like, someone just said, like, I should take the time to go to the mall.
I like that.
And, you know, just to, people would like, I don't really want to be here, but like, it seemed like I had to.
Yeah.
You know,
or like some weird hitches in the job. So like the only movie that you had that the movie theater had tickets left for was rated R, but like 5 different families tried to buy tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
With little kids and you had to turn them away.
Yeah. Or like,
kind of like that.
Or there's the bunch of movies and like maybe at the beginning of the game, there's some mechanism to determine which ones are playing.
All right, so last episode, we talked about the new pillow option in our merch store that we now have also. That's also
merch store that also includes a pillow, not just a shirt.
Yes, and I'm bringing it up again because the pillow is cool.
We think it's great.
Look, I'm positive it's soft. Ultimately, it's got our logo in it, and specifically, actually, it doesn't have our logo in it. It's got it's a cartridge, right?
It's the cartridge logo.
Yeah, which I guess I came up with at some point that I don't remember. Uh-huh. but holidays are coming up, and I'm sure you've gotten all of your family and friends a nice T-shirt, nice Games Club T-shirt, because of course you did, because they're so nice and soft and comfortable and cool looking. So now you can give them a pillow. Is also, I'm sure, nice and soft and comfortable and cool looking. You can go to nicegames.club/merch and check out all of the options, the two that are available.
Yeah.
All two of them.
Well, now, the shirt comes in different sizes and colors.
Correct.
That's right. It's very nice.
Yes.
Always top recommendation from us, gets the shirt. Mm-hmm. The pillow is brand new, but
yes.
I've gotten this pillow before in another style.
Yeah.
So even though we're just launching with our logo on it now, it is actually quite nice. It's a really great throw pillow.
Yeah.
So like, if you like the show, you want to support it, and you already have a shirt, or you don't already have a shirt, the pillow is an option for you too.
Yes.
And perhaps a sign of things to come at nicegames.club/merch.
Mm-hmm.
What you could do is you could get the pillow and you could get the shirt and you could put the pillow inside the shirt and you could stick it on a couch and then put like your favorite person on video chat on top of it.
Oh, we didn't even consider the hijinks potential.
Oh,
I was thinking social distance Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever holiday of the winter you want to celebrate, but you're just far away from people and want connection.
Right, right. If you just really like being far away from people, circumstances have engineered you such.
If you want to see if your friend and loved one will look good in the shirt before you buy them a shirt.
There we go.
Yep, that's a good point.
Okay.
It's slightly less sad.
Nicegames.club/merch.
It's slightly less sad.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay.
Oops.
Oops. Oh, no.
Oops.
So, listener, we had a technical problem. We lost like a couple of minutes of the show.
Yeah.
All the best ideas are in those minutes.
We'll just recap what they missed and then pick up from there. A couple of things have changed, but not so much. So we last left off talking about the sort of information gathering.
Yeah.
I was suggesting that, you know, what we should really do is that the end of the game should really just be about discovering what's going on. Because you're a bunch of teenagers in a mall. You're not the Goonies. You're not Stranger Things. Mm. And either Ellen or Lydia said, is that interesting? That sounds terrible. They weren't quite as dismissive as that. But they're like,
that's not very nice.
Would that be interesting to just have that, right? Is the story irony worth the sort of like disappointment? Mm. And I was thinking, well, it would actually if it were no longer a one-shot. If the system of the game were such that there could be multiple scenarios. We weren't just writing one story like we've been thinking about this whole episode.
Yeah.
And everyone seemed to like that idea that the systems we've been building so far actually seem to work with that. Mm-hmm. We no longer need to come up with a single story. But Ellen made a... You know, put her foot in the ground and said, "No, we really should have a second action phase where you deal with it."
Yeah.
So even though it got us to this no longer one shot thing, we dismissed my idea. We all agreed it was bad. And
I don't necessarily think it's bad.
Well, it's not the idea that we're having now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the key.
We've moved on.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but it's not what we're doing. We're now onto this idea of having this second action phase where we use the systems we described to suss out all the information passing, to figure out what's going on.
Right.
One of multiple scenarios, like a game of Clue.
Yes.
And once you figure it out, then...
You got to deal with it.
You got to do something about
right.
it.
Right. So, yeah. Exactly. Phase one is figuring out, is it evil? I like how Dale was like, think about one of your jobs and then choose one of these threats. And we're like, all jobs, all threats.
Yeah.
Well, we're game designers. We don't know anything about scope.
Yeah. We don't have a producer in the room.
Good point. Yeah.
That's
not
a different guest. So, oh, gosh. If you did this with a producer, that would be such a fun and sad episode.
I don't know. I think that if you took the handcuffs off of a producer and just said, okay, this is just for funsie. We don't actually have to make it. They'd be like...
they'd be the
worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd break them.
We're gonna make a cut scene with, like, you know, pixel art for every single possible outcome.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And okay. I've already written the Jira stories.
We said we weren't making it.
Well, deepest, darkest fantasies aside,
yes.
I think we're kind of resolved now because we had a little hiccup.
Yeah.
Like, let's just reset and let's see if we can put together a little mini prototype.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
From kind of what we already have and see what this would actually feel like.
Okay, so I have a little prototype. We have meeples. We have customer meeples. We have store meeples. Player meeples, along with matching player die for each one. I was thinking, like, if you can maybe... I'm not sure what the die will do.
Yeah.
I was thinking you could roll and get, like, a number of action points that you can spend in each round.
Oh, okay.
Could be. So, like, you know, like, dealing with a customer is one action point. Leaving the store, you know, to the promenade is two. Going to the back room is two.
Sure.
Visiting another store is four, or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can carry points over from round to round up to a inventory of like 10, maybe a bank of like 10 action points that you can have at any one time. Mm. But that was just a thing. That was just a thought. We've got different stores and we could have additional dice to deal with customers, right? So that could be a separate set of dice that deals with customers.
Yeah.
And then we have also we have cards that are in a deck, completely different set of cards that is not the stores. That is like info.
All right, all right, okay.
I think we had, I'm going to cut that deck in two because I think we had like physical findable info and then we had like people watching info.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So like people watching info would be the, oh, like you see both of the security guards on duty or like you overheard someone like you over like, oh, there's a lot of children at the X store that is not really children centric, but there's a lot of families there for some reason.
Yeah.
Or the super valuable customer rumors.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could do like, you could like leave the store is one action and observe is a second action.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or leave the store is one action and search is a second action.
Mm-hmm.
So you can stack a bunch of different individual actions into one cohesive turn where you're dealing with things. Okay. Cool.
And did I miss this? There's like an action point economy. You have a certain amount.
That's kind of what I'm suggesting here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like it.
Seems like it gives people more control and a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah, I feel like if we're going to give people a lot of choices, there should just be like one currency for action.
Yeah.
I like the idea. You could like lie or you have like persuasion points. I think like you could get more action tokens or you could store them up and then you could potentially like boost the die. So maybe at six, you're allowed, if you roll a six, someone like my job where I'm not usually allowed to leave, that's what will let me leave the store. But if I pay two other tokens to raise my four to a six, like I lose out on that resource that I had banked up where I had earned somehow because I really want to leave the store. And that would be equivalent to me like saying, hey, I'll go pick us sandwiches up from Panera if you just let me leave the store for 15 minutes.
Right. I guess that's what I was thinking with the action economy is something like that where certain things, certain actions that you need to take are cost more points.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so like leaving the store is going to cost more points.
I kind of think it should be simpler than that.
I don't know how it is simpler.
I mean, could it instead of
no, I mean, if I have like four
points, math is not simple.
It's addition.
That's why I started chuckling.
That's still not simple. I think what if instead of a die with pips, it was a die with literal actions. So like it could then we could stack probability. So three of them could be people like, oh, you're dealing with a customer right now. But then one of them is like, it's your break. One of them is go out and get resources. And it would be for each job, it would be a different die with different amounts on the faces. That.
And that's the only die you roll. So like you can move, but the die could be what you have to deal with this round. So if it's a customer, then you have to spend your actions on stuff, you know, dealing with the customer. And then you have a couple of actions left that you can then go to do something else.
Oh.
Or if the die is blank, then like, oh, you've got all your action points to spend on whatever you want. And do you know what I mean?
Oh, so you have the same resource every turn, but the die tells you
how much you are
beholden to spend and how much free time you'll have left.
And that's thematically relevant because the whole point is you're like trapped and these are the circumstances which keep you from doing things. So you should always start with vigor and you should always be stymied by chance.
And I think each class having each job having its own die
that is genius
because like
I love that.
You as a little kid at a pet store
could
leave whenever, but you might have to talk to a customer who's a big scary adult and it's just like, oh, you're so cute, what do you do?
I'm like, I don't know.
Can you help me with my dog?
Right, and then like, and you know, Steven's die would have no customer pips on it.
Right.
Yeah. So well, I'd have one because again, they need juice. They really needed juice.
But it's but it would be a 1 in 6 chance that the juice needs refilling.
Right. Okay. And then
I like that.
And then it could be that each player has their own deck of customer cards that are shuffled, so that because then they'll all be unique to that job, right?
Like it's more complicated.
No, I think the beautiful thing about the premise of everyone is stuck there and they didn't plan for that originally is that they're all going to be going to every store eventually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're all going to be gossiping. Like I think makes it a lot more reasonable to have the same type of customer reactions or a customer like small talk at any given store.
Yeah. Okay, then I think then they need to be a little bit more abstracted. So we can't we can't have a card that says that actually interacts with Ellen's character
directly, yeah.
Because then that customer wouldn't behave that way with Steven's character.
Or it's like or generalized to the point where it's like a grandma starts fawning over you.
Right.
As if you were her grandchild.
I mean, it could be like you have, I mean, you can do it. You have lots of, we have lots of options to deal with how each individual character has to interact with certain mechanics.
So it's each customer card is a character with key art. And then there's a little and then if you are this character, add this extra thing.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking specific customers, although that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But, like, it's more so
that, for
like,
flavor than really.
Yeah. Like, if it's just for flavor, then yeah. Maybe they could be dogs coming from the dog park. The, you know, like, little kid who's working with at the family pet store, whenever they have a customer, it actually it requires two action points for them to deal with it rather than just the one that it requires for everybody else. So they don't necessarily have a greater chance of, you know, meeting a customer, having to deal with a customer then.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, like, it's going to cost them.
Oh, so then it could be, like, maybe Stevens would have one person outline, Pip, but yours, your person outline would actually be two people outlines.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
So it's...
You draw two cards.
Yeah.
Or you just have a little card of, like, how many action points it takes to resolve.
True. Like, translation.
You get the same number every round. Everyone gets four. Mm-hmm. But if you, the little kid, end up rolling your action die and it comes up with a customer, then it's going to take two of your action points rather than just one.
Oh, okay. That's what I didn't want to do, but I'm okay with it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're complicating it in some directions, so don't let me be too stubborn about that.
It sounds like people have certain different chances of being able to do different actions, and they are will be that will take a certain amount of the turn.
Yeah, I mean the thing that I like about having the actions on the die is that it makes it like it kind of captures what you were saying, Mark, mm-hmm. about you being kind of stuck here and stuck dealing with the things.
Yeah.
But like I think that if it's only that, then it's too random. There's not enough control. There has to be some kind of action economy.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was something I was concerned about. I was like, if you just keep rolling customers all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're filling out the rumor deck, I guess. But, like, it feels like I would want to be able to contribute to the whole team.
Right, you're stymied. You're not blocked is what I was thinking.
Sure.
So you have six actions. Let's say you have six action points.
Yeah.
A customer will eat up one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you
can. Unless you're the little kid.
Right, and actually, a little kid, I can see, a little kid could just walk out. They don't need to spend any points.
They actually don't, yeah. Right? They could technically.
I could also see the customer cards. It'd be like, you know, this is Lenny. Mm-hmm. Lenny is going to stick around for two turns unless you spend an extra action point to direct them to the store next door.
Okay.
And then they will stay at that place for another turn. You know, stuff like that. So the there could be a little bit of that. And then it could be like, if you're the projectionist, you can't do that or something.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So some variations, but it would be contextual on the card, I think.
Yeah, there'd be like a card for each character along with the die and the meeple that would explain like a very, very, it wouldn't be like a big card. It wouldn't be like a Robustin card. It would be like a little card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're circling on a lot of the same ideas, like where does it go? Like, where does lever pulled? So I think we can just assume it's pulled somewhere.
Yeah, it's just, is it the cost on the customer card, or is the cost intrinsic to the class?
Yeah.
Is the cost intrinsic to the customer, or is it intrinsic to the person running at that job?
Mm-hmm. It could be, yeah, I could see a case for either. So my instinct is make it character-based rather than customer-based.
Mm.
And I would want it to be more contextual, which is why I'd put it on the...
It's a different C.
I know, right? But I guess the point is, it doesn't really matter for our purposes now.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Because we're aiming at the same target.
Ultimately, customers take some points away from you, and you got to deal with that. And
right,
then you
so
get
for
to
this
do
prototype,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For this prototype, let's say we all are the same.
Yeah.
Just so we can develop sort of a basic set of how the rules work. Do we like the idea of... So we each have a certain amount of action points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was just saying six because we have these six-sided die, and that's what it was. And it was enough that they couldn't all be sapped away from you.
Mm. Do they carry over?
I don't think so.
Okay. I think if we get the same number every round, then they do not carry over.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The things that can happen on a die.
I also like that because like if you don't take advantage of the time you have free at a retail gig, you're not getting it back.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so like you could use all your action points to traverse deep into the promenade and don't use the rest of your turns to get back. And therefore, if you roll a customer on the next turn, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So there's some risk involved.
Oh, that's fine.
So for our prototype, why don't we do this? Because this is what we've got so far.
Okay.
Everyone's at their store.
Yep.
We roll a die. Everyone has a different chance, or we could just say the same chance for this prototype, of rolling a customer or not.
Mm-hmm.
In the proper game, we'd have other things on the die as well, but let's just say just customer. And then the other actions you can do are move X number of spaces, and then if you end up at a spatially based information reservoir, you can use an action to get information.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this is all very basic, and we don't even know what the information is.
Yeah.
But our goal on first this prototype is to get out of our store to collect things out in the open.
Yeah. You just get a card, and the cards are blank.
Yeah. Is that enough to playtest with?
I think so.
We're going to have to improv a little bit, but I think that would be fine.
That's...
And oh, and then it's also getting information and communicating it to another person. Communicating information to someone else is the other, or giving a thing is the other reason to leave.
Yeah. So you can either go directly to the other person's store, or you could walkie them, but I think you should only be able to walkie them, and that's the wrong word for it now, when you're at your own store.
Yeah.
Like the intercom or something.
Yeah.
So then there's a lot of sequencing your actions. Like, I have enough to get the information, but not enough to get back. But I have enough to get the information and make it halfway to the other store.
Yeah.
Or I could go halfway back, and then on the next turn, I can get all the way back and give the information.
That'd be interesting.
But then there's one less action that I have next turn. You know, a lot of that.
Would it be interesting as if you're walkie-talkie some... walkie-talkieing somebody.
Uh-huh. That's the scientific term, yeah.
You can only do that. It takes a pip and energy to do it for one, each player, so you have to do it if you want to do it if there's four players.
That makes a lot of sense.
Ooh, yeah. So
then you got to
be like
choosy
that.
Who you're picking.
Yeah.
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 Like,
that's
kind of
what I want
channels.
About the actions. I want the actions to be one simple thing, and just so that it's so easily grokkable.
Yeah.
Right?
So just to make sure I understand what you were saying, Stephen, if you choose to walkie the team,
yes,
then that takes a action pip away from everybody.
No. I was suggesting I'd have to take walkie-talkie you, Ellen,
mm-hmm.
and that would take one action. If I wanted a walkie-talkie Mark, I would take a different
separate action.
Like, we're all on different channels of the walkie-talkie.
Okay, got it. I like
and
that.
And so ultimately, it'll be relevant what information you have and who you think needs it.
Exactly.
Because your action economy is limited.
Yeah.
So you only have so much.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Right, because the only way that you're actually passing information, you're not talking about it, you're talking meta. Whatever, but the only way you're actually passing information about the game state is through the cards.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Now, we don't have any motivation as to why I would want Lydia to have the information instead of Steven, but we'll assume we'll come up with something.
Yeah.
If we end up having, like, to transfer items at some point, like in the second phase, then it could be something like, I've left the item in the trash can in front of the Best Buy.
Yeah.
And that would be one action to walkie, and that way Ellen now has the knowledge of, I could go to the Best Buy trash can and get something.
Yeah.
That could be like another reason why, like, it may not be like information about what's happening. It may also end up being like information that will help us do something about it.
Oh, that would be kind of interesting because that's the way, like, in order to distribute.
Well, it helps mitigate the fact that, like, we aren't going to necessarily have breaks at the same time to be able to meet together.
Yeah.
We may end up having to, like, drop off things.
Right.
Yeah,
but I need you to have this thing, but it's faster for me to get it and leave it somewhere and wait for you to have an opening.
Yeah.
Because then when you do have that opening, your trip will be shorter.
Yeah. Or it's like, I can only get halfway and back.
Yeah.
Because we're on opposite sides.
Yeah.
So meeting halfway and being able to make it back to the store in case a customer arrives is ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to roll this die.
What are
and then somebody's going to tell me what it does.
Well, let's just say one and two is customers.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's one or two customers.
And we all get how many?
It's a six.
I forgot how to roll a die and roll off the table.
It's a six.
It was a six. Okay.
How many action points do we get?
We all get six, right?
Six each.
Yeah, that may be too many. It may be too few.
Okay, we get six. So the first thing we do is we roll to see what happens, and then the second thing we do is we're counting down.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. But we'll stay with Steven for now.
Okay. Yeah, I rolled a six.
All right.
Okay. So I rolled a six. That means that...
Nothing. You've got all 6 points to deal.
Okay, I'm on my break. So I guess what I'll do is I'll start... I'm close to the trash can because that's where I work. So I'm going to head towards the trash can. So it's one action to move a space?
Sure.
Okay. Where's the trash can?
So you're leaving the store?
Yes. I'm on my break, so I could...
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe the trash can's over here. Maybe this is like loading bay. Over here being the very long end of the corridor.
Cool. Okay.
So you left the store. I feel like that's one action.
All right, sure.
And then you go to a place.
Oh.
I feel like it's another action.
Yeah. Well, I'm going.
I was kind of thinking just like spaces on a board, but so then like, we might, then maybe they don't have enough points for that. But you know, the way we have it laid out is we have playing cards essentially serving as our stores, I would think each one of those would be one movement point away.
Yeah.
I think. Well,
how do movement points differ from other points?
One move, one action.
Yeah, so
it's going to take a lot to move around. It's going to take a lot of...
Right, so... Yeah, this isn't all balanced. Maybe the mall is just split into like 7 zones instead of 30. You know what I mean?
So like one zone could be 3 different stores.
Yeah.
And you're standing in front of them and you can do something. You can move to those 3 stores, do something at, spend another action point to do something at one of those 3 stores, and then spend another action point to go home.
Right.
Go home. Go back to work.
yeah.
Go home.
I'm out of here.
So obviously, I think I would want to keep the number of actions pretty low, but that would need to be the spaces on the board would have to be pretty big. But I'm cool with that. And just to represent, going all the way across the board should cost more than one action point.
Let's say maybe it's like one action point to get to the recycling and trash for you, and then another to do something. Yeah.
Right. And so also, your character could have on the board, there could be the back rooms, which could be bigger spaces.
Okay, yeah. So I took one action to leave the store, 2 actions to walk to the trash can. 1 action to root through the trash can. So now I've used 4 actions. Oh, this it has something on it.
Oh, does it?
I can't tell you what it is.
We thought we were playing with blank cards.
I thought we were playing with blank cards. Yeah. Okay, so you
and then I'm moving back to my to my store, I guess.
So in this case, we've invented some numbers here, but that's kind of the anatomy of a turn.
Yeah.
I like that, and I do like the idea of using squares. I was kind of against it at first, but then I having these grids means that the actions you can choose from have bounds, right?
Yeah.
So you say search, it implies you are searching what's in that square,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and then you pull out a physical clue
or
something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Closer. And I got this juicy information that nobody seems to want yet, so someone take their turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Mark's turn.
Okay, I'll roll. Okay, I rolled a 4, so no customers my way.
Oh, it's just customers or no customers? That's what we're
right
doing.
Right now.
Yeah,
that's
if you
fine.
Roll a 1, 1 customer, 2 customers, everything else is nothing.
Okay, cool.
My turn really isn't going to be any different than yours. What other kind of thing might be useful
for
you?
Well, you can talkie, so you can...
You're the
me.
Movie theater, yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
Tell you what I have.
Oh, right. So that's the, so as far as table talk goes, I know that Steven, the player, has some information.
Yes.
And it's we're fine with that. Like, I don't need to learn that through the mechanics.
Yeah,
fair enough. Okay, so then I will walkie Steven and say, what's new? Or I saw you ruffling through the trash. What's going on? Oh, he was not wrong. There was something on this car.
Oh, no.
And
that's
now
perfect.
I know it.
Oh, no, the hot goss.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now, here's an interesting sort of mechanical or logistical question.
Uh-huh.
Steven's giving me this information. Is he sharing it with me or is he giving it to me? Like,
oh,
do I hold this card now?
Well, actually, because I wounded through the trash, this is a physical thing, so I... No, so I guess we walkie-talkie. So
okay.
No, I wouldn't be.
So you would. So yeah.
Oh,
okay.
So
thematically, it makes more sense for you to show it to me and take it back.
Yes,
got it.
Yeah, and if you wanted to have the physical thing, you would have to transfer it somehow.
Yes,
I really do like that though, because the other thing is it means that like there's just going to be a lot of info.
Yeah,
and some of the things that you hold that you saw are going to be a little closer to you.
Oh, okay. I have an idea. So we're abstracting a little bit here.
Mm.
Steven found an object in the trash. But it's just as likely, let's say, that he found information in the trash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say, Steven, what's going on, if you found information, you can show it to me.
Yeah.
If you found a thing, then nothing. Then I can't do anything with it. I'm going to take this call. Something.
You were talking about the difference between finding an object versus finding information.
Yeah.
Yes. So if Steven found information, and all I know is that he has a hand of cards that he's collected.
Right, right.
And so it's kind of go fish like, in a sense. I can say, call Steven, what's going on? That's my action.
Yeah.
Like, I can't undo it. Steven, if he has an information card in his hand that he wants to share with me, can share it with me. If all he has is objects, he can say, I have a bunch of stuff, but he can't show it to me.
Oh, interesting.
Now, realistically, he could describe it to
it
me,
was.
But like mechanically, it might make more sense to be, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I suppose you wouldn't necessarily know whatever the thing is, like what it actually is.
Maybe. I think you should have the agency to say, like, I got a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to leave it in the trash for you next time I'm on break.
Okay.
So then, or like, have a moment. I'm thinking, like, almost a message cantrip where very limited amount of information, but you could say, like, what you have and what your intention is.
So the problem with that is that Steven can't say it out loud because the two of you are at the table.
Oh, that's right.
That's the thing. I think
that's why I'm
maybe it's like
this, is because even though it's a little weird, maybe a little breaks the reality a little bit because you would be able to describe what you found. it might be interesting. Otherwise, we could just say never mind, and he can just show it to me. And it still has.
I think
if something needs to be done with it. It still needs to be left somewhere.
That's. I think that's kind of what I was thinking. Like you can we capture the moment of Stephen conveying information over the walkie-talkie by him showing you the card and taking it back, even if it is an object.
Yeah,
because then we also don't have different conditions for different things, which I think are going to be it's going to be tough for people to keep track of.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, do we want to kind of try one more turn and see what sort of another scenario we can come up with?
Well, so you haven't finished yours yet.
That's right. I still have a bunch more. I have a bunch more action.
You had six action points. And I don't have a customer.
One action point? Okay. Back with walkie-talkie. One action point for getting information, and then one more to convey intent. So, like, you can be like, oh, Steven, what'd you get? You get the information and say, hey, I'm going to go to your store. Like, convey an intent. I don't know. I think
that can be table talk.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll end up being.
Okay, never mind.
It's harder to police that, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're limiting enough, but we could also narratively just assume that everyone's chattering to each other all the time.
Fair.
And so that's the kind of thing that would reach each other, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, only certain things need to be counted as action points.
But a limitation of the mechanic is that I can't then on my turn walkie either of you and tell you what Steven showed me because I don't have the card.
Yeah.
But I think that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Again, not necessarily realistic, but that's...
Yeah.
I can't, because I'm not going to be able to keep track of it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's just assume then that there may be many other interesting actions, maybe unique to my character. But let's just assume that this is the case where I have more actions than I know what to do with. I don't want to risk being caught out because mine has a high number of customer pips.
Sure.
So I'm going to just forego the rest of mine. That would be a valid action.
You don't want to like check out your store and see what do you observe?
Or? You could people watch, just look out the window.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, yes, all those things are possible. I'm saying we haven't come up with any of it yet.
Oh, yeah, fair.
So I'm just saying that there will likely be some turns that end that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We assume that maybe.
I guess what I'm trying to do is, if I'm going to take my next turn, I would like to simulate the choice of having to decide who to engage with.
Okay.
So you should take some cards.
All right.
Assume that you have spent some of your points to get some more cards.
So there's a bunch of people in the lobby. I'm going to spend three of my action points to listen in on three of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'll draw three cards, and we'll just. I mean, these might not all be blank.
Yeah.
And I can't say whether they are.
Oh, Ellen, what are you going to do?
Okay, so I'm going to roll, see if I get a customer.
I did the same thing. Oh, you're good.
So let's assume, though, that you did roll a customer so we can
test it out.
Yeah, okay.
I got two. I got a two, which means two customers. So I'm going to grab two little silver cubes.
Yep.
Okay.
And they're in the store.
So you would draw a customer card for each of them.
Yeah.
And they would have something on them, either something that happens, indicates maybe how many turns they stay. I don't know what else with a customer, other than the action points you need to deal with them.
Yeah.
Right? What else would be interesting about
potentially they give you, dealing with them gives you a rumor, right?
Right, so the customer card might have information on it.
Yes, and so you can distribute that information to people.
I think you have to deal with the customer. You don't have an option of dealing
with the customer. No, absolutely, but you also get a card when you do it.
Yeah. Oh, so the idea is, like, you could put more effort into the customer interaction and get something with it, but it would lose action points?
Well, that wasn't what I was thinking, but...
There's two ways. On the card, it could say, you know, this is Matilda. Matilda is a gossip. Draw a gossip card. Or it could say, this is Matilda. She's a handful. She's going to stick around until you spend a second action or whatever.
Okay.
Or it could be, this is Matilda, she's got a secret, spend an action to draw a gossip card.
Yeah.
I see.
Right. So it could be, and that could be three different types of
customers. Okay, so customers.
Yeah. With different names.
For
customers
Have
different effects.
And like, it's feasible that when we reshuffle the deck of customers, like, they come back to your store or they go to a different store.
Yeah, okay, because they're all stuck here anyway.
Yeah.
Because the power's out at home.
we haven't figured it out.
Yeah. And it decouples customers from the information.
Right.
There could also be, like, some customers could carry items.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, you could just get a granny who gives you candy. I don't know.
I like that.
That's sus.
You confiscate something sticky from a child.
And during the action phase, you then now have an inventory of items, and they maybe have stats or qualities, and then they can help solve your problem.
Yeah, this isn't going to end up being a lot of gossip cards and item cards, though. That's kind of where this is trending.
It's not going to be.
It's going to be.
I think that's okay because essentially that's the currency we have to work with the in the action phase.
Okay. Ellen, find out what I have.
Okay, so
first stuff too. First
I have 6 action points, so I'm going to use my die to count down.
You
I
use 2 of them to do with your customers, right? So.
Yeah. Right, so I'm down to 4 by default. Looking at these 2 customers, one enables me to... One is just a personality.
Okay.
And then the other one is a grandma who will, you know, give me an object or something.
I okay, think, sure.
Or leave something behind on the... On the
right.
Oh, yeah, maybe I throw something away at your store.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't need to spend another action point. That just happens.
Yeah, okay, I like that. Sure. All right, so...
At least for this customer.
These customers go back to the customer deck.
Okay.
Because I've dealt with them. Get
you
out
know what?
Of here.
Unlike most games, customers should all be shuffled into the deck immediately.
Ooh,
oh,
sure.
Oh,
because
yeah.
More likely to come
back. A lot of shuffling, but yeah.
Yeah, it's shuffling after every time. Well, not every time that somebody... It's only every time somebody rolls customer, one or two.
Yeah.
Okay. Still a lot of shuffling. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, maybe that's fine.
I kind of think it's worth it, but that could be... We could test that and how irritating that
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I have 4 action points left. I think 6 actions is too many.
Mm-hmm.
Look at my card!
I'm gonna spend I'm gonna spend 1 action point to radio Steven.
Thank you.
Whoa.
It's cool knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Apparently we prototyped Robostin with this last time. I'm gonna spend another action point to walkie Mark. Uh-huh. See what's going on at the theater.
So at this point, I choose.
You get to pick.
Yeah. It's like, hey, right. Mark, what's up, Mark? I guess I could say something like, oh, fascinating.
Yeah, I know, right?
I could say something. If I'm learning something, if I know something, I guess I could say, do you know anything about this? And you could give me a specific thing.
That's really useful because your information might be, because you can't share it, but it's a little go fishy in that sense.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. It is a little bit go fishy. Yeah. And I could base that off of what I have, right?
Yeah.
It's like, do you know anything about butterscotch?
I can say no. And that's the table, talk, right? I can help you determine what to use your
No, app. But I have this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, or the walkie, you've spent the action. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the walkieing is going to be a mechanic we're going to have to figure out with the action economy in another iteration.
Yeah.
I still have 2 action points. I've walkied both of you.
Yeah.
Two of the 3 of you.
Look at my card again?
No. I remember.
Okay.
So
the point being is I still have 2 action points left.
So I know you're saying you have a lot of action points, but I think I still think that movement should remain part of the action pool.
Right, okay.
And so we can't it can't be like 2 or 3, but it does create that problem.
Right.
And we can limit that by...
You could come over to me, tell me what you heard, because I'm right across from you in the mall.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, hold on a second. I'm gonna do that, but I guess I could do that and share information with you, but what that would look like is Steven would share his card with you.
Yeah.
Right, you can't do that. Because that's Steven's information.
That's how we've decided.
You could come and say, like, to me and say, hey, walkie Steven. It's important.
You could also share the information.
Well, you already know that Steven has information.
That's true.
Ellen has a card. So
yeah.
Ellen could share the card with you.
Yeah.
Then you have information that me and Mark don't have.
This is kind of what I was saying earlier about it should be okay to, like, not spend all your action points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a how do we make the tone so the players don't feel like they have to spend it.
It should definitely be, though, that as the game ramps up, because you keep the action economy the same, but we have to make sure that we give the players way more stuff than they can do in one turn
as the
game goes.
Yeah,
that's
there
the
needs
thing.
To be more things to do.
There needs maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of ultimately what it is. Yeah,
maybe
and the dyer is going to have more things that you have to spend action points on than just customers.
Yes.
Like machines breaking down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
The boss showing.
Could be that.
Up, stuff like that. So
yeah.
It's likely that there's going to be very few turns where you have all your actions free.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are the turns you're going to want to run out into the food court.
Yeah.
Right, you know, that's when you want to take advantage of all those things.
Yeah.
But when like the boss comes, you only have 2 action points at the end of your turn. Then you feel like, well, the boss sapped most of my actions, so I'll just do the next turn.
And like cleaning the store might take 3 action points and not result in anything. Whereas talking to a customer, it takes up action points, but you could get something interesting from them. So it's not. Yeah. It feels like less of a wash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then there could like cleaning the store could mean that could be a status. So the store is clean. And then after X number of turns, it's not clean anymore, or X number of cuts, or something. So that there's, when you draw a customer, if store is clean, then it's less of a hassle.
A lot of those conditions, though, this is another thing to keep track of.
Yeah.
Well, it would have to be all contextual. So I wouldn't want you to have to keep track of any of it. You'd have like a coin you'd flip over or something, you know, for status effects.
Okay.
But basically, I'm just trying to think of ultimately, all sorts of things you would want to spend your
actions. Yeah, ultimately, there need to be more actions. You got six of them. I mean, on my turn, I was able to use all of my actions, but I had a free turn, and I was able to walk to a place.
Yeah, that's
pick
true.
Pick up a thing and move back. Yeah. So theoretically, on your turn, you would do this. You could also have other actions you do at your store that would benefit you in some way.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can walkie me so you can get this information about this card, which is really cool, and I like it a lot.
Okay. If phase one, this is like turn one, phase one, not a lot to do, right?
Yeah.
When we get to phase two, we have at least a decent idea. We think we have an idea of what on Earth is happening. So it's either robots or monsters or what was the other thing? Aliens? Yeah, aliens.
Yeah. Evil.
Evil aliens. Important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Concepts. We have a 3x3 chart, and essentially we say, okay, we're pretty sure it's aliens. We now have to decide how we're going to respond to it. We could like fortify and barricade the mall, like essentially like prepare for siege. Mm-hmm. We could start fighting things, maybe we could do like combat, or maybe we could try to like get everyone to leave the mall.
Oh, I like that.
And then based on what threat we think we're dealing with, there's a certain number of conditions, like tasks you need to do. So like if you're going to barricade it against robots and monsters, like you need to block the doors on each end of the mall, like block door on south side mall, block door north side mall.
Mm-hmm.
But for aliens, that's not a task because they go through the vents.
Well, if it's pod people, then you've just locked yourself in with them.
Yeah.
And if it's pod people, or if you think it's pod people, and then you've collected improvised weapons this whole game, then you attack the pod people. And if it's not pod people, right? So like that's who there's. So you should players. I think we'd want players to get a good chance of figuring it out.
Mm. Yeah.
But a risk that they got it wrong.
I think also like some of the win conditions. So you definitely have to commit to like a response.
Yeah.
I think that the win conditions for that response to each of the type of creature should have a little bit of overlap. So, like, maybe you figured out it was either robots or monsters, but you picked the wrong one. You checkboxed, you did barricade the doors, that's still a point. You didn't get the right protective weapons, and you didn't get the right kind of communication standard. But you still get a point because you barricaded the door. And that was a requirement for both of those creatures.
Right, sure. Oh, and it could be just however many victory points you get. Then there's a little page in the instruction book
tells you how well
that
just
says that has a little paragraph telling the story of like you got only 1 out of 3 points. Like then it's a silly story about how you got by the skin of your teeth.
It's a chapter on the DVD.
Actually, that's exactly
And then I think then that phase could then start taking advantage in terms of like the items, but also in terms of the skills of each of the things. So like Ellen, having been a little kid who would make signs in your free time, like if the goal was to make people flee, you could make like signs that are like, you need, like, here's the truth, you need to run now. So that's one turn that you need to do, that you have the expertise to do. But then the question is, how do we get them around the mall? How do we disseminate them?
5-year-old Ellen writing the truth about their own signs.
I hope you want that sign in like Wingdings or
So the alien, maybe that's to warn the aliens we're on to them.
Well, that's it. Could be. I mean, there could be tokens in the box that are just, these are warning signs, and each character has a different way of making them, but they're just the tokens or whatever. And it's just the same action economy. You have to move to the parts of the mall to place them, and if you place the right amounts in all the stanchions, then then you successfully have done it.
Yeah.
And then the scenario may or may not have needed you to do that.
Yeah. Right. Or like and then item, like getting an item and using an item. So maybe there's a bunch of items where it's like a wooden bat or like something big and heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of things that are items, and underneath them says like would make a great barricade. So any one of those could be found in the item pool and then taken to one of the doors.
I like that a lot.
But you still need someone to find it, someone to bring it to the door and install it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's required of you being able to, if that's information or if that's an item you didn't find in the first one, you're like, oh no, we need to find
that
something
feels
to barricade.
Satisfying. Yeah. I think that was a big piece that was missing for me is like, okay, how does this all connect?
So I have one last idea for this, which is instead of two phases, as soon as we figure out what we think it is, we can start taking action.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And so as a VHS board game, it could be. I was thinking kind of in terms of chapters, like you would just start and stop it. But maybe it just runs through, and it is a timed game. It's an hour long,
mm-hmm.
and so you have to. That's the thing. You have to. Okay, turn. Like try to keep the game moving, so you can do as much as possible, get as much information as you can, and take action before the thing ends.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then once you've decided what to do and you've settled, then you skip to the end chapter with, you know, whatever it was this time.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, query though. How are we going to implement it being one of the three things? How do we know what sets the condition that this particular game instance is robots?
I mean, it sounds like a lot of how phasmophobia works. I know it's shocking that I know about phasmophobia because it's a great game. Oftentimes you go into a house like trying to figure out what kind of ghost it is, and then you do certain actions based off of what ghost it is, right? So you do that kind of thing. You get information. The card I got, for instance, that listeners don't know because you're not in the know.
wow. I'm not even in the know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel bad about that one.
I used my last action point to request that Lydia radios Steven on her next
year. I did.
Basically, you get all this information, and then you deduce that, oh, it's got to be an alien because this information, and it's not this information.
So I guess
theoretically...
But how does that exceed it?
There is a ton of problems. So, for example, the gossip cards, the item cards, all of that, if it's just randomized, then it doesn't... Our system doesn't account for that at all.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's outside the scope of this episode.
I agree.
Yeah.
There's a way to solve it. Yeah. We haven't come close to figuring it out.
Yeah.
Let's just assume that there is. Maybe it's a matter of, like, the cards have, like, if this, then read this half of the card. Like, it could be messy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I think it's too much to start with. We're already an hour and a half in.
Okay.
And I love this too much to start poking holes.
Yeah, so. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, okay.
Next time then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, we come to every, like, I would like to
keep working on it.
I would like to write and direct the video sequence.
I know, just think how fun that would be, right? Yeah. And I know how to use a camera now.
Just costuming alone.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. Get a strainer with pipe cleaners on the head.
Oh, man. Lydia, this was really great having you for this.
Yeah.
Yay, thank you. I had so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made today. Well, at least half of them. Visit us on Threads at Nice Games Club, where Dale posts about game dev resources and scaling mishaps from Blender. Reply there on Threads or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we'll be interviewing Joanna May about serialization. But that's it for this week.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.